How does AI even work? Where does creativity come from? What's the secret to living longer? TED Radio Hour explores the biggest questions with some of the world's greatest thinkers. They will surprise, challenge, and even change you. Listen to NPR's TED Radio Hour wherever you get your podcasts.
This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Crown Family School of Social Work Policy and Practice at the University of Chicago. The master's program in social work, social policy, and social administration prepares professionals to address today's most pressing challenges and offers flexible options with part-time and evening classes to support busy adults balancing complex schedules. Inspire change, shape the future at crownschool.uchicago.edu/social work.
I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. $50,000 delegates, politicians, and protesters are expected to flock to the United Center for the Democratic National Convention in Chicago next month. This is likely to create a huge traffic jam as people come and go from hotels to the convention center. And if there's any sort of emergency, be it a mass shooting or an explosion or injured protesters, victims will likely be heading to one of the three hospitals located about a mile south in what's known as the Illinois Medical District. So how are the medical centers preparing for an increased potential of emergencies? I sat down with Kristen Schorsch, a WBEZ public health and politics reporter who's been looking into this issue, as well as Shonda Morrow, interim chief operating officer and chief nursing officer at Rush University Medical Center, who's co-leading the DNC prep. So you're preparing for worst case scenarios. I mean, over the weekend, we got, of course, a prime example of what that could look like. Of course, I'm talking about the attempted assassination of Donald Trump. Does that change the way that you're preparing?
No, it does not. We are preparing for the worst. And this weekend was a horrific attack. And it shocked the heart and soul of the nation. And on behalf of Rush System Health, I would like to send our prayers to the victims and families. You know, once upon a time, we would do fire drills in the hospital, or we would do infant abduction in the hospital. Now what we're doing is active shooter drills. We are doing dirty bomb drills, as well as mass casualty. So to your point of, are we prepared? We are prepared for the worst.
How have you wrapped your mind around that shift in drills alone?
Yeah, it's organic. It's organic from the perspective that we are aware of what's happening in the nation, and we know that we have to protect our patients, we have to protect our staff and our students and our visitors. And so we have a very aggressive medical emergency team that keeps us abreast of what we need to do and what we need to learn.
For your recent reporting, Kristen, you spoke with Dr. Nicholas Cozy, who's the EMS and Disaster Medicine Medical Director at Rush. Let's listen.
We have built a plan to anticipate tens, hundreds, thousands of people coming across the 290 expressway on the bridges in an event of a mass casualty or a major catastrophe.
Wow. You also spoke with Craig Williams, who's a chief administrative officer at Cook County Health. Now, this was all before the assassination attempt, of course. So what did he say then about how the political climate would affect the hospital's operations?
All right, Craig. Right. Well, I mean, what he essentially was saying that there's so many heightened emotions, mm-hmm. right? And that brings risk. It's the unknown. It's being nervous about the unknown. And what does that mean? You know, he made a comment to me about how you wouldn't think that, you know, a convention for a sitting president would maybe be a really, really big event. But just given all the protests around the country for whatever it may be. And then I think this weekend, you know, I talked to him before the assassination attempt this weekend. So he's really just nervous about the what ifs and that these heightened emotions, you know, mm-hmm. could lead to something big.
Shonda, how different is the prep that you've got to do for the DNC versus other big events like Lollapalooza or NASCAR that we just saw?
Yes, our prep is steadfast. And what I mean by that is we're going by the four S's: service, safety, security, and system. And in terms of service, we want to continuously provide quality care for our patients. We know that we have to provide access for our patients. And therefore, all of our key assumptions about the what ifs are towards those strategies. In terms of safety, we are telling our teams, and that would be our staff, to read Rush News, to download the OEMC app so they can know about road closures and potential crowd gathering. We want our teams to read our DNC prep. We have a rush.edu page specifically related to any of the updates regarding what's happening regarding the DNC.
Yeah, tell us more about that coordination between hospitals. How are you doing that? Like, will each of the hospitals maybe serve a distinct purpose for the DNC?
Correct. Rush University Medical Center is a level one. So we have to work with our partners such as Northwestern Memorial, the University of Illinois, and Stroger. And Dr. Cozy is in contact with the major medical directors and the leaders regarding exactly how we would, as a team, deliver that care.
Kristen, of course, as we've talked about, we're expecting a ton of congestion on the roads during the DNC. We're still waiting on information from the Secret Service, though, about the high security perimeter. But what do we know so far about how exactly traffic's going to be affected?
It's going to be heavy. Please avoid going downtown if you don't want to get stuck in traffic. Right? General message?
Yes.
Right. So the Sun-Times recently reported that the high security perimeter would probably be about two blocks outside of the United Center. So that's probably about halfway between the United Center and Rush, Stroger, UI Health. We're still waiting for those road closures. I think it's going to be out in like around like the July 25th, so late July. We're also eagerly awaiting those here too. Shonda mentioned the OEMC app.
Yeah.
So that's the Office of Emergency Management and Communications for the City of Chicago. If everyone wants to download that, you'll be able to get traffic updates and road closure updates. But, you know, I think that people should just brace for really heavy traffic, you know, look at public transit, look at how close you can walk to things or bike to things, maybe avoid the roads that week and leading up to it. Because as we all know, road closures start even before big events.
Oh, absolutely. So in addition to downloading the app, et cetera, Shonda, are you encouraging patients who may have appointments that week, the week of August 19th, to perhaps move them to a different date or just a different location?
We want to engage all of our patients to provide the best care. So to your point, we've asked for patients to schedule a week before or a week after, and we've also have a hybrid approach where we will see patients in the morning and then in the afternoon they'll have virtual visits. However, we do have to be ready and prepared for patients who may need emergency care services, as well as need to have procedures done.
Stroger is one of the busiest trauma centers in the region, Kristen, and we know gun violence tends to peak in the summertime. So how is Stroger planning on balancing that need with the potential for emergencies coming out of the DNC?
Right. I mean, basically, they were talking about that very experience you just mentioned. They're very used to, unfortunately, having to balance a lot of trauma coming in, sometimes multiple patients that same night, right? From even potentially the same incident.
Right.
So they have been very much preparing for, are we going to have a lot of trauma cases coming in just from everyday Chicagoans, while also balancing that with the convention? So, you know, I think a lot of the hospitals around the city, you know, we talked about this, I talked about this with Shonda too, like they regularly do drills just to see, to test capabilities and to make sure that they're prepared for whatever comes their way.
Yeah. Well, this sounds a bit like what you were talking with Dr. Nick Cozy about. He showed you how the ER at Rush is actually designed to respond to catastrophes.
Yeah. So the ER at Rush was built a little bit more than a decade ago, for a disaster. So he was showing me, you know, he opened the back door of the ambulance bay and said, hey, United Center's right over there. Say we get a rush of people across 290 Expressway, across the bridge. What happens if they are doused with pepper spray? There's an eye wash station right by that door. So you'd rinse, rinse, rinse. You'd walk over to an area where these heavy curtains fall down. This is in the really big kind of cavernous ambulance bay. You get sprayed with warm water and soap, take off those clothes that are potentially contaminated, walk over to a warming area, put on fresh scrubs, go into the ER. So basically the ambulance bay is outfitted to decontaminate people very quickly and get a lot of people through. So that's just one example of one of the ways they're prepping.
So they're using the eye wash station for more than just eye washing.
Oh, yeah, right. I mean, so say you get pepper sprayed, say you get mace, say there's another chemical, you don't know what it is.
Yeah.
I mean, that is basically, it's right there, ready and waiting.
Convenient. Now, Shonda, when you think about the need to care for protesters that will be out and about that week, what is top of mind for you?
Safety and security. We're telling our teams to, if they see something, say something. And to Kristen's point regarding the way that we can convert to care for a mass casualty, our Brennan lobby can actually serve as an emergency room. We've got large structures that will open up so that we can provide oxygen, that we can provide any type of cardiac reading. So the idea of protesters and an ability to care for them, not only in the ED, but also in our Brennan lobby, could happen. We also are concerned about our migrant workers and potential population that may come to our area. And we're working with our health equity team. We have 25 plus subcommittees specifically looking at every possible group of people that we may encounter.
Right. Yeah, let's talk more about that, Kristen, because that's a great point, right? We are expecting for more migrants to get bused here during the convention, right? So, I mean, there's also the possibility that they'll need care.
Right. I mean, that was the thinking. I feel like people for a long time were talking about that, the potential that in Texas they would send over even more buses of people. I have not heard a lot about that since then. We have not actually had a large amount of buses coming lately.
Okay.
But that is something that the hospitals are preparing for, that say a large volume of migrants show up and they need medical care, like any other patient, they're going to come as well. And I will say also something else that I thought was really interesting that Dr. Cozy mentioned. When you think about all of this in general, whether you're caring for regular patients, caring for trauma, he mentioned how 8 out of 10 people who are in a traumatic event are walk-ins. So when you think about if something happens with protesters, something happens just on the outskirts of the medical district, for example, that we're talking about.
Yeah.
Don't just expect a bunch of ambulances to show up. It could just be people getting dropped off at the door. So it's you're mm-hmm. really, preparing for the unexpected.
That is so true. So I want to go back to talking about staffing with you, Shonda. You talked about sort of balancing that need to, be prepared, but also like not overstaffed, right? And making
Correct.
Sure that you're not adding to this traffic jam that we're already expecting here in the city. Are you maybe proposing that staff sleep at the hospitals? Is that a potential,
You're spot on, Shasta.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We have a group that's specifically looking at accommodation. We have on-call rooms, but we also have rooms that we can convert for our staff to actually stay over. At the same time, we want to ensure that we have the right staff to care for the right amount of patients at the right time. So to your point of not overstaffing, we will have some staff that will be working virtually from home. But we are preparing for our staff for accommodations at the hospital.
Yeah. In 1996, the Sun-Times reported Rush required staff to be on call 24 hours a day and canceled staff vacation. Now, is that happening this time around?
We did ask for a hold on PTO. Because we are trying to plan for the unexpected. At the same time, we have asked our leaders to upgrade their phone trees, to have our specific physicians and particularly our ED and surgical staff to be on call.
Mm-hmm. And the staff, I'm sure, were expecting this,
oh, sure,
right?
Sure, they were expecting it for sure. And we know that it's a short amount of time. But unfortunately, a great amount of damage can be done. And so we want to ensure that we have the right amount of staff to care for our patients.
It would be a heck of a week to take vacation and then, come back and see what's unfolded for sure. How are staff at Stroger and UI Health prepping sort of in the same way and making sure that their employees can get to work?
Yep. Same thing in terms of sleeping arrangements, right? If people want to stay over because they're either worried about not being able to get in or because they want to make sure that they have a lot of people there if an emergency happens. Same thing with Stroger, they can have cots available. At UI Health, because it's part of the University of Illinois system, they have student dorms that they can sleep in. So,
okay.
They were also mentioning to me, I spoke with an emergency physician at UI Health. You think about Chicago in the winter and the snow and the blizzards, very similar preparation. If you need to stay overnight, this is where you can go.
When you speak with other nurses, Shonda, what are they saying to you? What are their concerns?
They're concerned about the potential security as well as safety, crowds, getting to work, going back home, just your normal concerns. And so we do have a specific email address for them to share those concerns, and we will definitely expeditiously respond to them.
Yeah. Well, despite all of this doom and gloom emergency prep that we have to talk about, right? It's so important. I want to hear from both of you. Is there room here for hopefulness? I mean, the events have not happened yet. We are not yet at the week of August 19th. So can we be hopeful that all will be well or most will be well? Kristen, you first.
I mean, I think always hope's a really great, beautiful thing, right? I mean, if there are going to be as many protesters as people believe there will be, hopefully it's people getting to exercise their right to free speech in a peaceful way, right? Yeah. I mean, I think that, like everyone I talked to for the story, preparing for the worst but hoping for the best, that really is the goal.
In addition, we do have the RNC to model after, and we're in contact with our medical peers in Milwaukee to understand how they manage the crowds. And so that gives us equal hope.
Yeah. Well, my final question for you was going to be, what are you watching as we get closer to the DNC? It sounds like you're watching the RNC.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Kristen, you?
Yeah, same here. I mean, from my point of view, right? Like seeing how the hospitals respond if something happens to the RNC. But also, you know, we talked for the story about just what other experiences that hospitals have been able to glean lessons from too. But definitely the RNC will be something everyone is watching.
That's Kristen Schorst, WBEZ's public health and politics reporter, and Shonda Morrow, longtime nurse and interim chief operating officer at Rush, who's co-leading the DNC prep. Thank you both so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced and mixed by Linnea Dominic. It was edited by Dan Tucker. We bring you the news you need to know every day on our podcast, but one of the best ways to interact with us is through subscribing to our newsletter. Sign up at wbez.org/resetnews. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. Thanks for listening, and talk to you tomorrow.
My name is Donald. I live on the southeast side of Chicago. I support WBEZ because of the balanced reporting and covering so much about an issue, as opposed to just the few seconds that you may hear on most other news outlets. It matters to me to hear the story more completely.